Wonderful, wonderful, wonderful. Yes, well, we will get started here this morning, and we have an example of people praying here, one of the great prayers in the Bible, actually, today we'll be looking at. And the one thing that was so amazing to me this past week is I'm sure most of you were praying to bless Peggy and I, but that's just a small part of the blessings that come from your prayer. And it's also, it's good to have group praying because then nobody gets the credit.
No.
Now, right. You can kind of feel who's praying and who's not praying without anything else. But what happens is, apparently, that God instructs us to pray. We're told in 1 Timothy, as you know, therefore I exhort first of all that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings and all who are in authority. So, and it goes ahead to say quiet, peaceful life and so forth. This is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior. Now, when we're told to do something and it's good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who desires all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth, you see how all-inclusive that is. It's not just take care of somebody on a trip. That's the least of the thing, really. It's really use that time to affect others' salvation, really. And so when you pray to bless, whatever you're praying to bless for, you may not even know, we don't even know how far that blessing will go. But it will not only go to the person you're praying for, it'll go to all of those that they bless while being blessed by God, who opens the doors for much more than if you didn't have that blessing and that prayer support. We know in Genesis 19, as we read there, and God remembered Abraham. You remember when Sodom and Gomorrah were going to be destroyed. You know the story well. But the angel says, I cannot destroy Sodom until we get Lot out of there. And then we read, and God remembered Abraham. So when God remembers a person's prayer told to us in the Bible, that means he remembers your prayer. And all we have to do is have the right heart and know that we're praying in accordance with his will. And the Holy Spirit lets us do that if we pay attention to. Now, if we just start reciting a bunch of prayers just to be praying without any real thought or whatever, those probably won't be very effective. But if you're just led by the Spirit, and you don't have to pray in a prayerese group language where, oh, I got to say the right thing. People really be impressed how well I pray. No, that's not it at all. That prayer probably won't even be heard, that part of it. Because as Peggy just mentioned, and then there's comments made, but that's really true. We don't know how to pray. We don't. Why? If we knew how to pray, we wouldn't need the Spirit. I mean, that's the truth of the matter. We don't know how to do anything without the Spirit, really, of his spiritual nature. And you might say, oh, I have a whole list of things I did this week, and I did that, and I did that. Well, if you weren't led by the Spirit, they aren't going to count for anything. And if you're taking the credit for it, you're not going to be used next time around. Because he's going to get all the glory. All the glory. Not 90%, all the glory. So if I take 1%, which is low for me, I usually go for a higher slice. That really limits my effectivity even in the future, right? Because if you're going to make an investment, you want something that gives you 100% return. You don't want something that gives you 40% return, right? I mean, you want to put your investment where you're going to get the return. And he tells us in his word, he wants us to be very fruitful, right?
Yes.
So who's he going to use? He's going to use those who are giving him all the glory, who are depending on him and seeking him for the direction and the deliverance of all these things. And then, like this week, we saw that so over and over and over. And occasionally, you know, I would take charge of, oh, I'm in Dallas, I know that airport really well, and I'm, you know, we're walking all over the place, and I'm saying, yeah, it's a little bit further. And then Peggy would say, yeah, I know it's down here somewhere. And she would say, what is the gate number? Isn't it 37? Yeah, it's 37. It's way down there. She says, well, this sign here says 37. Oh, so that happened quite frequently too. But God, even with my stupidity, he would still get us right where we needed to be so we would have time to witness there. He doesn't know what, and we're wandering around. We go to the bathroom, find somebody there, go to security. And these security people, and like in D.C., nobody pays any attention to them. And you stop and ask them for their name and even ask them to pray. If they have children, they all do, or grandchildren. And if you can pray for their child, I've yet run into anyone who says, don't pray for my children.
That's right.
And when you pray for their children, then you're in. I guess because any mother or father who finds somebody who cares about their children are going to really open their hearts to you, right? And so that was just went on and on and on. And on and on, and it wasn't us. We were just like walking through there, you know. But we got to see, we went into, I don't know, quite a few, maybe 20, 25 different congressmen. Went into Maxine Waters' office. That was darkness personified. And you go in there, and you know, it's like, of course, in Washington, everybody wants something, right? The reason you go there is to get perks or whatever, right? Everybody wants something, and I understand that. But as soon as you go in the door, you can feel this is either a believer or an unbeliever. I mean, it's like one, the light's off, and the other, the light's on, right? And we saw so many young interns, so many, scores of interns just love the Lord.
Oh, beautiful.
Not in the dark offices. Those were not that way. But that would have never happened 4 years ago in the last administration to that extent, because you need the godliness spirit to flow to the point of having people selected and so forth, I guess, I don't know. But it was just great, and so we went into California every time we went by a California door that we could think of or whatever, not every time, but I'd go in, and I couldn't remember which were the good ones, which were the bad ones. And one guy we went into, he's a guy who's got a California all the way up to Canadian border, just a normal guy standing there. I wouldn't even pay attention to him. I guess he had a button on, I wasn't looking. And we're talking around, and he's kind of there. And so I said, well, we just want to pray for the congressman and so forth. And so we're getting ready to leave, and he like introduces himself as a congressman. So I didn't even know that. But anyway, I was kind of an idiot running around there. Except that I wasn't an idiot, because we're special treasures of His, right? We're really special. Yeah. So if you're going around thinking I'm no good and I'm worth nothing and all this, you're totally giving that's a bad witness. You're God's creation.
Amen.
And you're special because you're saved. So if you're just a piece of trash running around out there, you're the worst witness in the world, right? Because we'd like to think, which we are true, that I'm just worthless nothing. And I am spiritually without Him, but I'm still His child.
Amen.
So He's going to use you as something very precious. And people will listen because it's the Spirit talking. Well, as we get on into this study, I don't know, did we open in prayer yet? We're talking about prayer and I don't even pray. Let's begin with a word of prayer this morning. Father, here we are, just mindful of Your Word and mindful of Your presence and mindful that we have this opportunity to freely meet every Saturday morning, a good place to meet and no interferences and so forth. There's nothing to block full participation in having what You have for us and to be effective to bless others. So help us this morning, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, as we go through the book of Acts, we are going to finish the fourth chapter today. And remember last time we were talking about persecution entered. 3,000 came to the Lord on the day of Pentecost. Another thing I just wanted to came to my mind as I was driving over here today, how important it, I kind of minimized this maybe in going through Pentecost, but I think on the feast of Pentecost, how many loaves are there? Very good. I knew you knew the word. But why are those so significant? What?
Father and Son.
No. That might be, but then you'd have three if you're going to do that way. But no, it's the Jews and the Gentiles. They're going to become one. Up until that point, there was such a division between the Jews and the Gentiles, and that's what we read in Ephesians, that you both will be made one. So now we have Pentecost bringing the two loaves, one is leavened and one is unleavened. And the leavened loaf, of course, is also, well, I shouldn't say that, they're both they're both leavened, the Jew and the Gentile, because they're both sinners, right? Jesus is unleavened because he has no sin, right? So they would wave these two loaves before the Lord as part of the Feast of Pentecost, and that was, they'd been doing that since the days of Moses, right? It wasn't a thing that started with Jesus, but it's fulfilled in Jesus, right? And so as we see now Pentecost, we not only have the Spirit being poured out on the church, we have the church becoming one. It's no longer Jew and Gentile or anything else, but it's no longer Jew or Gentile. It's one church. And so I think that part might not have really been mentioning that, and I just want to point that out. But here we are now. They have had their 3,000 came to the Lord with the man being healed there and that particular kind of thing. And then last week we had where they were called on the carpet, and Peter gave that great answer and about there is no other name given among men by which a man must be saved. And we had that great thing going on. And Peter also, they were questioned because they were not obeying the government. And of course, he said that a great statement, which you know well, but it's something to keep in mind in verse 19, is whether it is right in the sight of God to listen to you more than to God you judge. So keep that in mind. If anybody, any authority, government or otherwise, is instructing you to do something, or in a marriage, for example, to do something that's not in accord with God's will and according with his word, you don't do it. So they said, whether it is right in the sight of God to listen to you more than to God, you judge, for we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. So when they had further threatened them, now I think this is really funny. Here they're really questioning everything because now Jesus has been risen from the dead, right? And now they're still back to the old school thinking they're going to threaten you, but threatening you to die? Bring it on, right? We'll be with the Lord, right? So their threat was misplaced, but they didn't know what else to do, so they just threatened them there. And then we go now to what happened to Peter and John, verse 23. So we will read now, we'll read down through the end of the chapter, and then we may make a couple of comments after that. And being let go, they went to their own companions and reported all that the chief priests and elders had said to them. So when they heard that, they raised their voice to God with one accord and said, Lord, you are God, who made heaven and earth and the sea and all that is in them, who by the mouth of your servant David have said, why did the heathen rage? Why did the nations rage and the people plot vain things? The kings of the earth took their stand and the rulers gathered together against the Lord and against his Christ. For truly against your holy servant Jesus, whom you anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate, with the Gentiles and the people of Israel were gathered together, to do whatever your hand and your purpose determined before to be done. Now, Lord, look on their threats and grant to your servants that with all boldness they may speak your word by stretching out your hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done through the name of your holy servant Jesus. And when they had prayed, the place where they were assembled together was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they spoke the word of God with boldness. Now the multitude of those who believed were one heart and one soul. Neither Did anyone say that any of the things he possessed was his own? But they had all things in common, and with great power the apostles gave witness to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. Nor was there anyone among them who lacked, for all who were possessors of lands, of houses, and sold them, and brought the proceeds of the things that were sold, and laid them at the apostles' feet, and they distributed to each as anyone had need. And Joseph, who was also named Barnabas, by the apostles, which is translated son of encouragement, a Levite of the country of Cyprus, having sold it and brought the money and laid it at the apostles' feet. Well, as you know, in this account, we have this great prayer for boldness. They did not protest. They did not make up signs, stand on the street corner and said, "We're against the government." They prayed. Prayer is so much more important than anything else you can do, in my opinion. And you can do these things. They're not bad if your heart's in the right place to protest. But it doesn't really typically do very much. You got the divided thing there, and the ones that aren't for that thing never get swayed by a protest, I don't think. Very rarely. But you can't sway another person. You can't, but the Spirit can, right? So pray for the enemies. Pray for those that are against the Lord, for their souls. That's even more important than any of these things you could protest against anyway, right? So when they heard John and Peter's testimony, they raised their voices to God with one accord. It's good to pray as led by the Spirit, because then you're going to have one prayer. If you're all praying your own prayer in a different thing, God can hear them all, but nobody else can say amen to that, because they don't even know what you're talking about, right? Because you're praying your own prayer and everybody else is praying their own prayer. It's like kind of hard to say amen, 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 with really understanding, right? So they said, "Lord," notice the address here, "Lord, you are God, who made heaven and earth and the sea and all that is in them." So we have to remember who we're praying to. We're not talking to a magician or a genie or the man upstairs in a colloquial way. We're talking to God, who made the heaven and the earth and the sea and all that is in them. Is there anything in that is not included? I don't think so. And then he quotes David in Psalm 2, "Who by the mouth of your servant David said, why did the nations rage and the people plot vain things?" Well, because they're filled up with their own pride and their own arrogance and their own rebellion of heart. He goes on to say, "The kings of the earth took their stand and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against his Christ." So we see anti-Semitism today, huge, growing. We see hatred to the Lord today, huge and growing. Is it new? No. It's always been, always will be, until God takes care of it. Now here's what they prayed. "Truly against your holy servant Jesus, whom you anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate, with the Gentiles and the people of Israel were gathered together to do whatever your hand and your purpose determined before to be done." That's a good thing in our prayer too. We want to be on the side of him, that he does what he has determined and purposed to do. He's going to do it with or without your help. But if you're helping in the right way, he will use you to influence others positively. And if you're against him, you're probably going to influence others too, but not in any positive way. And here's what he's asking: "Stretch out your hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done through the name of Jesus," not through you, but through the name of Jesus, the name of your holy servant, Jesus. And when they had prayed. Now notice they had prayed. I think everybody always agrees, yes, prayer is important, but how many of us pray? I think one of the questions that comes out of this that you ask the Lord, not your neighbors or anybody else, But are your prayers effective? I know they are if you're praying. But if you're just thinking, oh, I ought to pray, and you don't pray, that isn't going to be effective. You got to pray, don't we? I mean, we have to do it. We can't just say, you know, for example, trying to lose weight, you say, well, I shouldn't eat any fat things. Well, then you shouldn't eat any fat things. You don't say, I shouldn't eat any fat things. You're feeding yourself bonbons, right? you need to do what you say, all right, or what you're thinking. But they had prayed, then the move here, and they had prayed together. So there's power in numbers. There really are. There's power in one by themselves. There's power a little more in two and a little more in 200 or so. Here we had 120, we guess. We don't know who all these people are, that these companions. It says, and the companions is even in verse 23 and in italics, so that's not even in the original. And being let go, they went together with their own and reported. So who is their own? Who are their own companions? Some people think, well, it's 120 that were in the upper room, maybe. Or we don't know. But anyway, it's those around them, like-minded, and they were in one accord. We are told in the earlier that the 120 in the upper room were in one accord, but here it just says companions. Anyway, the group, your believing group, in other words. And so then when they had prayed, the place was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. And what? They spoke the word of God with boldness. So there's some speaking here, too. There's some word of God here, too, is it not? And the boldness really means, to me anyway, that you do it, right? Because you're going to have reasons not to. It's not to be boldness like a bull in a china closet and them crashing in, but you got to do it. You know, you got to go through the open door. And you'll run into all kinds of resistance. Don't do it. So the boldness, I think, is to do what the Lord has for you to do. Satan is powerful, but he's not powerful in any comparison to the power of the Spirit. But we see his power, and it's frightening to us because he's a lot stronger than we are. Well, that brings us really to the end of that section. Then we get into the sharing of all things. Some good things here. There's some other things here where it says they sold them. There's nowhere in the Scripture that says they were told to sell them. They got all carried away with thinking they knew the Lord was coming very, very soon, and we'll go sell everything. That actually becomes the first stumbling block of the church, because we'll see right next time as we get into Ananias and Sapphira that the trouble entered the church. And then even after that, we get into the early church, there was a trouble in distribution, right, to the Greeks and to the non-Greeks. And so we're to share, but we're not to do foolish things. And I think this is foolish to sell everything, because I know when he's coming, right? So if you're in that ilk today that said, well, I can run up all the debt I want because I know the rapture's coming soon, that's irresponsible, and God's not going to honor that. But they, true communism should be good, but it never works because man's heart is too corrupt. And whoever ends up in the top of the pile of that group gets everything. Who's the richest man in the world today? Really believed to be Putin, if we only knew about it. But think about the millions that are suffering for that dictator to have all the funds, you know. So they call it communism. We now call it socialism. And pray against that, because that is not of the Lord. Not of the Lord. Well, Father, we thank you for this prayer for boldness. And we thank you for the instruction that you give each of us as we read your word. And we thank you for the examples of your faithfulness, your grace, and your mercy in all things, including prayer. And so, Lord, help us to pray this morning of just things that we should pray for as you lead us by your Spirit, Lord. And just as each directs, then we could have that amen within ourselves, because we are praying in that accord that your will be done. And the requests that you have for us, Holy Spirit, if they're from you, will be in accordance with your perfect will, we know, Lord. So lead us now, and thank you for these moments together. We ask in Jesus' name. So let's pray. Oh, Father, we thank you for meeting us here this morning. Lord, it is important to do good things, and even was mentioned, as you would say in your scriptures, be salt and light. It doesn't say do salt and light.
Amen.
And Lord, as we do want to pray for others and all, and Lord, I just know that I think we all need to, first thing is not to pray, first thing is to seek you, Holy Spirit, is this of you? And oftentimes I can see that I always want to wait for that confirmation, which can happen in a millisecond. It doesn't mean you have to be quiet for a long time, but test the Spirit, is this of you? Because so often it's not, I know it's the right thing to do, but it's not of you, it's of me. And when I do what I want to do without following you, it's not going to go anywhere. Mm-hmm. And so it's not so much doing, it's so much being, really. And yes, we want to do your will, that's a do. And we want to be obedient, that's a be. And if we're not, if we're obedient to you, we'll be doing what you want us to do. We can't save anybody. But we can pray for them, Lord. And even as we hear the political stuff and all of that, I don't think so much. You're going to put the candidate in office that we most need. It may be the worst candidate in the world, because that worst candidate in the world can cause us to respond as we should. I thank you for that glowing report that I heard, that there are now estimated to be 5 million Christians in Iran, and there's never been such a growth in Christianity as there is since this conflict has started. And we don't like conflicts, we don't like wars, but we do see you working through all kinds of situations.
Yes.
And so, Lord, I see such a laziness in this country, and nobody wants the war to continue because it keeps their gas prices too high or whatever else. And don't believe we're ever going to have a nuclear. I talked to this one person in the airport, you know. She's all for Islam and everything else because they're all the same. And I tried to say, well, there's only one with Sharia law. Well, that's okay. They just want to do the right thing. So, Lord, it's just such ignorance out there with Islam. People think, and that means all Muslims are evil, but it does mean the core belief there is evil. It is totally against you, totally against you. So, Lord, we want to love them. We want to pray for them, and we want to be led by your Spirit to make sure that our motive is what it should be, and then we do, waiting on you. We want to be ready. Bless each one here as we go. I thank you for them. I thank you for bringing the Bibles and reading these scriptures together. May you be blessed, Lord, today. May your name be magnified today in each of our hearts, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.